I am so glad you're here this morning. If you'd take your Bibles, please, and open it to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, this is where Brother John read this morning. And we are going to start out just by reading one verse, Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46, verse number 10, the Word of God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I ask that you would just calm every heart and mind. Lord, that you would help us to really be able to focus on you today. Lord, that you would set aside all the cares of this world. And Lord, that you'd help us just to be able to focus on you. Lord, we invite you to meet here with us this morning. And Lord, we ask that you do a great work in this place. I'm very thankful for these people that have come out on, Lord, less than wonderful roads to be here this morning. Lord, I ask that you do a great, great work in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's amazing what we can find in one verse of Scripture. This says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." So there's three main points in this verse itself. And that's my outline for today. Be still, know that I am God, and I will be exalted. So, be still. If you look that up in the old Webster's Dictionary, it would say something similar to this: halt, stop, don't move. That's be still. You know, I remember as a little boy, I'd go out hunting with my dad, and that was his favorite line: be still, be still, be still. You know what? Little boys can't be still. And I was a normal little boy, and I couldn't stay still. I couldn't. His other favorite thing to say was, "Shh, shh." You know what? I found out over the years, it's not always about being still and quiet. Because you know what? Those animals aren't still and quiet. You know what's still and quiet? They're predators. That's what's still and quiet. You know what? I used to tell my boys when they were with me, "Shh, shh." And now I just look at them and I kind of chuckle and I just keep walking. You know what? Every once in a while we'll walk into animals. It's kind of special. You know what? It says, "Be still. Stop. Halt. Don't move." You know what? When you're sitting still, you can be really quiet. And you can hear a lot of things that you'd normally never hear. You know, it's really funny because in the past, people would call our home and they'd say, "Well, is this a bad time to call? It sounds like you have company." No, this is just our home. When you have eight people in a home, it's pretty loud. It is, it is. But you know what? It's getting quieter all the time. It's almost discouraging. You know what? I don't get near as much back on my taxes either. That's discouraging. Hey, you know what? When we be still, we can hear from God. And I'm hoping this morning, just like I prayed, that your heart and your mind would be still today. That we just listen to what God has for us. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 26 says this: "And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Mark 4:39, same thing happening, just different author. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and saith unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Jesus arose when there was trouble." Jesus is the answer. You know, they were fearful. These men were mariners. They spent their life on the water. But they were in a storm and they were scared. They were fishermen. That's what they did. But they were scared. And they were crying out to Jesus. And you know what he did? He arose and he said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. Here's a question for you. When God speaks to you, do you listen? Do you obey? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that for yourselves. You know what? If God's creation, other than humans, obey him at his word, why wouldn't we as humans? Can I tell you why? We are his only creation that he gave a free will. And you know why he gave us a free will? He wanted us to worship him of our desire. Luke 8:24 says this, "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm." The Bible says that he rebuked. That means he reproved, he restrained the winds and the water. Be still. Be still. That's important. You know, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's how it starts out. Be still and know that I am God. You know, I like to do things on my own. When somebody says, "Pastor Steve, you can't do that," I'm just the kind of guy that's going to try to prove you wrong. I am. You know what? It may be a fault, but I'm admitting to you that's how I am. I like a challenge. You know, when I met my wife, we had a problem. I was very competitive. She was very competitive. You know what? I got involved in a game of volleyball with my wife. She was on the opposing team. I had to pick myself up off the ground and dust myself off and say, "That was good." She did. She knocked me to the ground. It's the only time that's happened. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? Listen. You know what? For that moment, I was humbled. I was. You know, here is this beautiful young lady that I was just introduced to, and I was kind of interested. And now I'm laying on the ground. Pretty humiliating. You know what? It would not hurt us to end up on our face before an almighty God. Be still and know that I am God. When was the last time that you got away where it was quiet and you spent some time with God so you could hear him? You know what? I'm very blessed. I have a good job and I have a great shift when I do my job. I get up early and it's quiet. Nobody else is up in the house. And I get to spend time with God. I love that. I love that. You know what? Be still and know that I am God. And then he says, be still. And then point number two, know that I am God. You know what? This takes effort. It takes effort. Because in and of ourselves, who do we want to be in charge? Us. Me. You know, I used to tell everybody, "Hey, you better be careful, because there's three of us." What? Yeah, there's me, myself, and I. I used to think I was a pretty tough guy. Until somebody showed me I wasn't quite that tough. And then I didn't think I was such a big guy. You know what? We need to know that he is God. This doesn't happen by accident. It only happens on purpose. And you know what? It's a command. This passage doesn't say, "If you want to, be still and know that I'm God." It says, be still and know that I am God. James chapter 4, verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, there's just about nothing more frustrating than turning to somebody and saying, hey, what do you think about this? And they give you their opinion. And then somebody else comes along and says, you know what, I kind of struggle with that. This is kind of how I think it is. And then that person goes, yeah, you know, that's exactly how I feel. That's not what you just told me. You know what? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what? We need to be still. We need to hear from God, and we need to know that he is God. We need to stand on some things. We need to know what we believe. You know what? We're only going to know what we believe if we draw nigh to God, because he promises that he'll draw nigh to us. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. We need to know God in salvation.
Amen.
1 John 1:9. I love using this verse. I use this verse just about any time I try to share the gospel with somebody. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
Amen.
Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? That is actually talking to saved people. The word confess means to tell all. To tell God what our sins are. If you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor Steve, well, I just can't think of any sins right now. Well, you just keep listening. Because you know what? The Word of God rebukes. The Word of God shows us our faults. Why do you think people don't like the Word of God? We don't like to be rebuked. We don't like to be shown our errors. I didn't like laying on the ground in that volleyball game. But you know what? I learned something. She's a better volleyball player than I am. I can live with that. Now, I've gotten better over the years, but that doesn't mean I'm better than she is. But you know what? The Word of God never fails.
That's right.
The Word of God never fails. We need to confess our sins. We need to be faithful, and God's going to forgive them. John 3:18 says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But catch this, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what? What we're seeing here is this already is the state we are in. We don't have to do anything to get there. The Bible says that we are already condemned.
Oh boy.
That's what it says. He that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already.
Good preaching here.
And this word condemned means guilty. Sentenced to punishment. You know what we all deserve?
Oh, yeah.
To spend an eternity in hell. Even me. Some of you are going, especially you, Pastor Steve. You know what? I hope that's not what you're thinking. Because we're all in the same boat.
Oh, yeah.
We are. Just like those disciples when they were out in that storm and they were scared and they awoke Jesus and said, help us lest we perish. You know what? We're getting tossed around in the sea of this world. And I'll tell you what, the devil doesn't care what happens to you. The worse he can beat you up, the happier he is.
Oh, yeah.
And I already told you, I'm a competitive person. I don't like the devil to win. I don't want him to be happy. I want him to be sitting in a corner pouting like a little baby. And you know what? The book of James tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. You know how Jesus Christ resisted the devil? With Scripture. with Scripture. You know what? We need to know God in salvation. That right there is the first defeat of Satan in our lives. Because until we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are already condemned. We are destined for an eternity in hell. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm pretty good. I thought I was too. But you know what? There's not a one of us good enough to make it into God's perfect heaven.
Right.
We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all our sin.
Amen.
Keep your finger here in John chapter 3 and go to Isaiah 53, 6. Isaiah 53, 6. Here the word of God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm so glad that God loved us so much to do that. To take every one of our sins and to place them on his only begotten Son. John chapter 3, verse number 16. That's why I told you to keep your finger there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. It says, should not perish.
Amen.
And that should doesn't mean maybe not. It means you will not. That word should is different than what we use in our vocabulary today. It means will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Shall not perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it doesn't mean might, maybe. It means they will if they do this. You know what? We need to know God as king of our life.
That's right.
A king, a head, a leader, an authority. Do you realize in places where there is a monarchy, they are ruled by a king? You don't just come before the king anytime you want to. The king has to request your presence. You realize if you go to a king without being summoned of the king, he could have your head removed. You know what's great about our king? We can boldly come before his throne anytime, all the time. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 18. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. You know, I wish that word was in our vocabulary more than it is. Preeminence. I love it. Precedence. Priority of place. Superiority in rank or dignity. You know what it means? First place. The first thought. It ought to be toward him. Preeminence. You know what? This leads us to another word that I just love. When it's talking about the relationship that we ought to have with our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's called intimate.
Oh boy.
Intimate. You know, we as human beings, we've got this all messed up. We've got this mentality that when you hear the word intimate, it's just what we ought to have with our spouse, our husband or wife. But that's not the case. That word intimate means close.
Amen.
It means sharing things with somebody without regret. Being willing to share everything, to know all. You know what? A husband-wife relationship should be intimate.
Amen.
I used to say this all the time. There should never be a secret between a husband and wife. I mean, there should be. There should never be anything that a husband keeps secret from his wife. There shouldn't be anything that a wife keeps secret from her husband. I quit saying that. You know what? When I'm getting my wife a gift, I want it to be a secret. But you know, that's about the only kind of secret that there ought to be. You know what? Listen, I realize that there's going to be other minor things that fit into that category, so don't condemn me. But you know what? There ought to be open conversation. You ought to have an intimate relationship. You ought to know the person. I ought to know my wife better than I do. Sometimes it's embarrassing. It is. But you know what's even more embarrassing? Not knowing who I call king of my life. That's embarrassing. You know what? If he's truly king of my life, I ought to be doing everything within my power to please him. And how do I please him? By doing what he wants. How do I know what he wants? The Word of God. The Word of God. James 4:8. Again. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You say, Pastor Steve, why would you use that verse twice in a message? Because obviously God felt we needed it twice. Because he laid it on my heart two different times in this message. You know what? We need to draw nigh to God. We need to know him. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Amen.
And lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what? You may not understand. But if God's word says to do it, just do it. And God will bless you. You know what that's called? It's called faith. Faith! We sang that song today. Faith is the victory. I love that song. I love it. Faith. We need to just obey God at his word. Why? Because it's his word.
Amen.
He said to do it. We ought to just do it. Follows up with Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You confused, not know what you ought to be doing? Search the scripture. Because you know what we find in the scripture? What we ought to be doing. You say, Pastor Steve, is everything that I ought to be doing in the Bible? Absolutely. It is. Do you realize when we search the scripture, when the word of God says that he will give us the desires of our heart, he will put up on our hearts his desires. And then he'll fulfill them.
Amen.
Do you really trust God? Do you share with him everything? Or are there things about your life that you wish he didn't know? By the way, he does know them.
Yes.
He is all-knowing.
That's right.
And he is omnipresent. And he is all-powerful.
Amen.
You say, Pastor Steve, that's a pretty bold statement. That's right. It's right out of the Word of God. It's that bold. Black and white bold. Because that's what he is. He is God. James chapter 4, verse number 17. Oh, sorry about that. Cough to the wrong side. James chapter 4, verse number 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what? There's sins of omission. That means not doing what God told us to do. And then there's sins of commission, doing what you know you're not supposed to do. But you know what? Sin is sin.
Amen.
And it displeases God.
Right.
How can we call him king of our life and purposely displease him? And that brings us right to our third point. He says, I will be exalted. You know, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will happen. The Word of God said it. It will happen. You know what? It's a whole lot better deal to do it now of your own will than to do it later when you're made to. Because when you do it, when you're made to, you will bow before him just to hear him say, "Depart from me, ye doer of iniquity, for I never knew you." You know what? I hope that nobody ever hears those words. But you know, I know they will. Because the Bible says, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it." You know why one of the reasons few there be that will find it? Because you and I shut up when we shouldn't, and we open our mouths. We shut up when we shouldn't, and we open our mouths when we shouldn't. Have you ever said something, and right after you said it, you wished you could reach out there and grab those words and put them back in? I've heard people say something, they go, "Where'd that come from?" You know where that came from? It came from your heart. The Bible says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You want to know what somebody's really like? Just watch them for a little while. You'll see what they're like. Listen to them for a little while. You'll know their heart. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. Verse number 11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and all that is in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted above all." You know what? He said, "I will be exalted." What does 1 Chronicles 29:11 say? He will be exalted. Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 17. Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 17. "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." It's not my word. It's God's word.
Amen there, brother.
Philippians 2:9 says, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth. You're not convinced yet? Philippians 2:11. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord."
Amen.
"To the glory of God the Father." Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. Romans chapter 14, verse number 11 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." You know what? You may be sitting here thinking, "I'm okay. Things are fine. I'm living a good life. I'm a good person." I didn't write the scripture. God did.
Amen.
In our state that we are in as human beings, we are condemned to a Christless eternity. An eternity in the lake of fire. That's our destiny. But glory be to God, our King, that sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to bear the penalty of our sin. But you know what? That's no different than having that beautiful wrapped Christmas present sitting in front of you and saying, "It's beautiful. It's so beautiful that I just want to enjoy it." And you never open it. And if you never open it, you can never enjoy what's in it. You know what? You can know the Word of God and never make it to heaven. You can be a great person and never make it to heaven, because the Bible says that we are already condemned. It is our destiny. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's right. Oh, boy.
You know what? He didn't just say, be still. He didn't just say, and know that I am God. He said, I will be exalted among the heathen. And he didn't stop there. He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. And he will.
Right.
You know what? You could sit through an entire service like this and still spend an eternity in hell.
Right.
Because just having the information presented to you is not enough.
Right.
We need to take the information and we need to apply it.
Amen.
I bought a really nice pair of cowboy boots. Man, I loved them. They were beautiful. I realize this is very uncomfortable for some people. I don't like snakes either. I despise snakes. I'll tell you what, I think there's a reason why Satan took the form of a serpent. I just don't care for him. I don't like him either. There, now the record's set straight. You know what? But this pair of boots were snakeskin. And they were beautiful. They were beautiful. And I got a really good deal on them. Took my son's boots into the boot shop to have, I mean, actually my wife's boots into the boot shop to have them fixed. And I saw those boots sitting there and I said, how much are those? You know what? I had enough money to buy them. So I did. I looked pretty cool in those boots. I did. Well, I thought I did. You know what? But I had a problem. Those boots rubbed sores on the sides of my legs. And I thought, oh, well, no big deal. And for those of you that are mother-like figures, yes, my socks came up above my boots, okay? I took precautions, okay? But you know what? I still got the sores. And they got infected. I was miserable. And I went to the doctor. And they gave me an ointment. And they said, put it on there. And it'll get better. I had the ointment. And I applied it. And you know what happened? They got better. Amazing. I was told this will heal you if you apply it. And guess what happened? It worked. I don't wear those boots anymore. They're still pretty, but I don't wear them anymore. Oh, no, they're very handsome. Sorry. But you know what? I've given you the remedy for the problem today.
Oh, boy.
But if you don't apply it, it does no good.
Good preaching here.
Because we are already condemned. We already have the infection. We need the healing. If you're sitting here tonight, this morning, and you'd say, Pastor Steve, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. We would love to show you how you can know for sure. The Bible tells us that we can know. Tells us that we can know without a shadow of a doubt. We'd like to help you with that. Maybe today God has helped you to realize that you say he's king of your life, but you're not living like he's king of your life. You know what? The information's there. Are you willing to apply it? Are you willing to allow him to make the difference in your life this morning? Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we are just sinful people. And without you, really, we are nothing. But we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, it would be ignorant of me to stand here this morning and believe that every person in this room is saved. Because we are a sinful people. Lord, I ask that you'd work on hearts today. Lord, that you would convict of sin. Lord, you've given this message to me, and I believe that from the bottom of my heart. Lord, you convicted me when you were giving it to me. I had to do business with you. Lord, I pray that every one of us would. We need to draw nigh to you, and you said that you would draw nigh to us. Lord, I ask that your perfect will would be done in this time of invitation. Lord, as we stand in a moment and sing this hymn, Lord, that you would help us to have the courage to do what you tell us to do, what you're leading us to do. We thank you for this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.